So yeah, I will be presenting the social and economic fabric of decentralized space development. So a little bit about me. He said I co-founded Space Cooperative, so you might be like, what's Space Cooperative? What's Space Decentral? Well, Space Cooperative is the initial worker-owned cooperative that we formed in 2016. And that led eventually towards Space Decentral. This futurist, Giulio Prisco, wrote an article on Medium called A Decentralized Autonomous Space Agency. So that was about, you know, five months after we formed. So we just met on the internet and started collaborating, and we decided to converge visions, essentially. And we didn't even meet in person until about like 1 month ago. So whenever he came to California to, you know, visit his daughter. But basically, whenever we formed the company, the vision was creating a space mission collaboration platform so we can crowdsource and crowdfund space missions. And whenever Giulio laid out, you know, the concept of a space DAO in this article, it made so much sense because, you know, it's like you can utilize the transparent nature and the coordination mechanisms that, you know, smart contracts provide to allow that, you know, connection to happen and to allow it to be so we're not, you know, the only organization in control of how the space agency is going to operate. So a lot of people, you know, might say, you know, why focus on space when there are so many problems on Earth? And what I often say is, you know, there are a lot of reasons why space actually benefits Earth. First, you know, if we're exploring the universe, we're learning things about, you know, humanity that we don't know before, whether, like, you know, life exists outside of Earth. It's like there are so many, you know, galaxies out there, and it would be amazing to actually explore them. The second thing, as far as, like, you know, knowledge and understanding goes, is, you know, space is such a harsh environment that it's also another way to actually advance knowledge and technology to be able to live in these harsh environments. And through these experiments, you actually, and through developing these technologies, you actually, there are like spin-off technologies that are applicable to Earth too. Like, for example, insulation that's used in a lot of housing, you know, that was initially for space because of the, you know, extreme temperatures. And the other thing, as far as, like, you know, climate change, we wouldn't know about climate change or how the temperature of the Earth has been changing if it wasn't for satellite technology. And then, like, GPS constellation, it's like we still use that every day. I know there's foam, you know, that is attempting to replace it in ways, but I think it'll probably be a long time until that actually becomes fully mainstream. And then lastly, asteroid mining. You probably heard the news yesterday that Consensus just acquired an asteroid mining firm, which is very interesting. We'll talk more about that later. But there are a lot of benefits as far as, like, asteroid mining goes, because it's like we live on Earth and it's always, like, you know, it's this mindset of scarcity. So with asteroid mining, we can, you know, move towards more post-scarcity as far as, like, oh my God, there are so many resources outside Earth. And the same mentality goes as far as, like, colonizing or settling on other planets. Okay, so that's, like, a little bit of background for, you know, why space is important besides, like, the fantasy and allure of truly becoming a spacefaring civilization. So what is Space Decentral? It's a decentralized autonomous agency, and we're aiming to essentially reinvigorate the push for space exploration with global citizens in control. So it's decentralized because no single corporation or nation will be responsible for its management. It's autonomous because members will control over how work is directed, how decisions are made, and which projects to fund. And it's a space agency because it's going to be very strategic. You know, it's like the network will decide, you know, which programs to fund, which projects to develop. So it's like if you combine these three, you get, like, you know, we can tap into the curiosity that's, you know, in our human, it's in our evolution to explore. We can, like, finally, if you have, like, the drive and the motivation to actually want to work on space, it's like you can participate in it. It's like how do we make it so anyone can, like, work on space? It's such, like, a fascinating thing. I hope I can do it for the rest of my life. Like, how can we enable anyone to participate? That's what we want to do. And essentially, it's like, you know, citizen-led through that. And through this combination, it's about expansion, you know, to throughout the universe, expansion of our knowledge, like expansion of of like humanity in general. So in this talk, I'm going to talk a little bit about aerospace crowd history as far as like crowdfunding and crowdsourcing. And that will sort of lead towards a transition of talking about the XPRIZE and then Space Decentral. And then I'm going to talk about phase one of how Space Decentral is initially working right now, and then the phase two of how it ideally will work. So the history of crowdsourcing in aerospace, it can it starts in the 1900s with the Deutsche Prize, and that was a $100,000 French franc prize for the first airship to fly from the Parc St. Cloud to the Eiffel Tower and back in under 30 minutes, so it was about 11 kilometers total. And the winner of that was Alberto Santos Dumont, and he was a Brazilian. And then there might have been like a lot of other prizes in between then, but some of the most significant recent ones were the Ansari X Prize, and that was the first X Prize in 1996, and that was a $10 million prize for the first non-governmental organization to launch a reusable manned spacecraft into space, you know, twice within 2 weeks, and that prize was actually awarded. That took about 8 years. And then the most recent one that I'm sure a lot of you have heard about was the Google Lunar X Prize, and that lasted from 2007 to 2018, and it was a $30 million prize. And that was for, you know, landing a robot on the surface of the moon and traveling 500 meters over the surface and sending the images and data back to Earth. And what happened was nobody actually won that prize, but all of these companies were formed through that process that have received way more funding than the prize even was. And there are a few examples that I think are significant. I had a typo on the first one, but that should be Space IL. And that was the Israeli group, and they were a nonprofit, but they were able to actually receive $95 million of funding from various sources, such as philanthropists like Sheldon Adelson, who donated $16.4 million, and also some of the leaders of the group that, you know, had wealth. iSpace was a Japanese organization, and they actually just recently secured $92 million in funding. And Moon Express is also like a for-profit-based business, and they've received a total of $65 million worth of funding. So even though none of these organizations actually won the prize, it's like there was, you know, a lot of advancement in technology that will enable other people to use these landers that a lot of them have built to actually get to the moon, you know, faster and more efficiently. And then as far as like the history of crowdfunding in aerospace goes, one of the first successful examples was Planetary Resources' ARCID spacecraft. And the reward that they were giving on Kickstarter was you can take your self-portrait while this spacecraft is traveling through space. And that campaign happened in 2013, but actually in 2016, they decided to cancel it and give everyone their money back because there wasn't really enough support to fully go through with that mission. And then the other example was Planetary Society's Light Sail, and that was like a solar sailing type spacecraft, and it's to use a solar sail as a propulsion mechanism. And that first mission, there was also some failure associated with it. And then another more recent one has to do with a telescope, and that was in 2017. It's like a more of a personal telescope, and that was a $2.2 million campaign. So these are like quite small as far as like citizen crowdfunding goes, but you can also think of the XPRIZE as a crowdfunding mechanism since, for example, the Google Lunar XPRIZE, that was sponsored by Google. So it's like larger organizations can actually collectively potentially sponsor larger prizes. And this is where we can start to talk about Space Decentral and what we're up to. So right now, we have a lunar program called CORAL, and it's a open source lunar space program, and the objective is to essentially demonstrate in situ resource utilization technology, or ISRU, to 3D print on the lunar surface using essentially moon dust or regolith as the feedstock of what goes into the 3D printer. And then, so this is our flagship mission. It was selected by the founders of the of Space Decentral or Space Cooperative, but I'll talk more in the future about how we'll select the next missions. So whenever we asked a lot of the community about why they joined this mission, you know, what motivated you to join? Like, these were the different responses that we got. You know, some were just want to make friends with like-minded people, or just as simple as like space, a chance to participate in something new, to be an asset to society. And then there were other responses that were more related towards, you know, the mission at hand, which was interest in space resource utilization or potential for advancing interesting lunar projects. So we launched this around July, and like I said, this is our first mission, and our first mission is actually not just the founders of the company, but it is the global community. So there are people participating right now from India, from Australia, from Sweden, as far as like their nationalities go, from the UK, Canada, a lot from the US, and also Puerto Rico and Brazil. So the people you see in this photo, these are like some of the people that were part of Space Cooperative, but then also the people that are part of Space Cooperative and Space Decentral as a community as well. So how does it initially work? We don't operate on the Ethereum blockchain today, but that's the phase two that I'll talk about next. So right now we have spacedecentral.net. It's a social network that we host. This is just like the first iteration of it. It's very basic. It has a forum, you know. It's connected to Google Drive because that's what a lot of us still use as far as document collaboration goes. And then we do our task management in GitHub. So this is like some of the tasks for our Coral mission right now. You can see it's like, you know, writing reports on the manufacturing methods or the different trade studies. And you know, maintaining the document library. Here's an example of like a trade study that the community is working on right now to determine the manufacturing method, whether it's like microwave sintering, solar sintering. So this is just like a collaboration of all those people that I showed you before. And this is another like interesting one. There was like a task, design a logo, and like we got like first that one, and then someone submitted that one, and then this is the most recent one we got on the right. And there wasn't even any like bounty associated with this. It was just like, hey, like someone, people were still doing it even though there wasn't any money associated to it. And that's like the interesting part as far as like working on space projects go. Because I actually wanted to talk more about the Israeli organization, SpaceIL. Like I said, they had $95 million in funding, and they had 30 paid members, but 200 plus volunteers. So that's like the interesting like composition of actually forming it as a nonprofit, because you can, because there are people that want to work on space that don't actually care about getting paid for it, and that's exciting. Like, I've been working on this for 2 years, and I've like, you know, self-funded it off of some Ethereum after I purchased it after the DAO hack. But I didn't put my money into it because I thought I was gonna get rich. I heard the calling, and I'm like, this is what I want to work on. And then you start to see other people want to work on it, and it's not because they think they're gonna get rich. So how will it ideally work? So this is how a space mission works for NASA. You see it's highly complex. If we build an international space agency, it's not like we have to copy everything that NASA does. You want to innovate, make it a little bit more agile. But the reason that like the process of developing a space mission like this has all these different, you know, milestones, critical design reviews, a lot of different design reviews as you advance from developing a concept to actually like doing the system design to starting to prototype the hardware. That's why NASA missions, they don't fail that much as far as like all the ones that have gone to Mars or, you know, the recent one, like, or the moon. A lot of other, you know, countries have tried to go to Mars but haven't made it there. So this is just like an example of, okay, well, how are we gonna translate all of these processes like to the blockchain? And this is where you can start to see, okay, you know, smart contracts might help with like how you assign peer reviewers or how you release funding as you advance up the different milestones, or maybe how you find teams to replace an existing team if they're not able to, you know, successfully deliver on like the prototypes. So Space Decentral, we want to build a space agency in a box. Like, we want to have the tool set so we can create an international citizen-led space agency, but at the same time, like, we think this tool set can also be used by nation states that don't have space agencies yet. You know, how do we actually enable more nations to become spacefaring, like the developing nations? Because I think that that's really the way to truly like balance the power, is like giving as many people in the world access to the technologies, like the freedom to explore the universe. And that's why a lot of our, you know, ideologies and missions are also based on doing as much as we can in an open source manner, like building a knowledge base that has, you know, all the, a lot of the education that you need, a lot of the different tools that you'll need. There are actually a lot of open source tools out there already, but there's no, you know, cohesive like enterprise suite or, you know, space enterprise suite that makes it actually easy to use every tool. And for what we want to build, you know, Ethereum will be the underlying, like, you know, blockchain that everything will then layer on top of, and we've made a decision to utilize Aragon as far as our, you know, DApp framework and governance goes, because of a lot of like the shared ideologies. And, you know, it's like a lot of people say, oh, Aragon, it's really complex. And like I showed you that graph before, we're like, that's great. It's in a, it can it can support a lot of the use cases that we need. We need to build a complex system, and maybe to build it, you need a, you know, robust tool set. Now I'll talk a little bit more about like how the ecosystem works with the tokens. And this example that I go through right now, it's like I said, we're going to be using Aragon, and this how this ecosystem works with the two tokens. A lot of different organizations that want to do combining crowdsourcing and crowdfunding, and, you know, like volunteer driven projects can also use the same model. So, you know, you can rename the tokens, like do the same thing. There's nothing space specific about like this initial mechanism, but, you know, essentially we'll have a faster than light FTL. That's our transferable token, can be purchased, and it'll be staked for governance rights. And it's also used to prioritize programs. So it has like a unique capability for, you know, this is like one, there's like one main token weighted vote, and that's to select the programs. So you could think of it as similar to, you know, companies deciding which X Prize they want to fund. You know, they're like, well, if I'm going to put 30 million in, I want to choose that it's going to be like a lunar prize. So it's at the very high level, not saying that they have the ability to actually choose the winning team of that prize, but actually to fund it the higher level, like people that are passionate about initiatives. And then the other token we have is the Space Decentral Network token, or SDN, and that will be earned by people that are actually contributing to the space projects. You know, they're working on the projects, they're earning these tokens, and this is like important because, like I said, there are going to be a lot of volunteer driven projects, and you're not going to have like all this like FTL to give to every project, but you want to give an SDN token at least, or SDN tokens for every task that is completed, and that can later be like an accounting tool that you use to distribute FTL whenever or ETH or other sources of funding as it comes in the future to the project. So as far as our space mission, So like I said, we selected Coral as our first mission, but right now to select our subsequent missions, we have like the space mission activation process, and that's actually going on right now. And this is where we're gonna start to use Aragon to select our next missions. But essentially, right now, people are just developing proposals, submitting them, and then through the tasks that people are working on Coral, we'll be awarding SDN tokens. And then if you collect a minimum amount of that, you'll be able to participate in the activation votes for the next missions on the network. And then if your idea gets selected, you also get more SDN tokens. And then this is like the unique part of it is, you know, with the XPRIZE, it's a lot of different teams competing. But with this, we want to make it like, if your mission was selected as the winning one, it's open for the entire network to still collaborate on it. It's like, just because your team might have had a winning proposal doesn't mean that it would just be restricted to your team, but at least there can be like priorities for, you know, the proposal team, at least being able to work on the initial task. And then, you know, this is how it can work as far as, you know, there's a project, there are tasks, the tasks have different SDN, people finish the tasks, and then they collect the SDN for it, and then later, whenever there's a reward cycle, they get the FTL reward. And then so, like I said before, we're gonna do this with Aragon, and right now we're developing a planning suite, and the code name for it is That Planning Suite, and there are gonna be 6 different apps, that are Aragon OS apps, and they'll actually work in combination with the other, like, you know, token manager, finance, voting apps that Aragon is already building themselves, and then we want to just like add an additional tool set for, you know, different types, you know, for range voting, for being able to have like actual consensus voting whenever you're actually estimating how much the tasks are worth. You can, as a project team, come to consensus on the value of it. It's like, that's where you don't need the entire like DAO to say how much that task is worth, but the people that are actually just working on it. And then an address book, because not everyone's going to be using ENS in the beginning, but you are going to have like Ethereum addresses that you're regularly sending funds to. So just like an easy way to create a mapping between a human readable name and an address. A projects app that will actually initially integrate with GitHub. So you can do like a bounty system within Aragon. But eventually we also want to expand that to a more decentralized Git solution. Like there's a tool called Pando being built. So that's the eventual migration for that. And the rewards app that will be able to support the mechanisms that I just described. So this is like a design of the tokenized task management that's currently under development. And then, you know, this is the rewards app. And, you know, these are based on design patterns that Aragon has already built, but with a little bit with a few changes as well. That's about it. It's unknown what the future holds, but it's up to us to shape it. If you want to collaborate, there are details there, and you can also stay in touch.